Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hi, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This week we have 2 guests from the U.S. Women's National Team. Both of them are likely to be starters at the upcoming Women's World Cup. First up is Rose Lavelle, and after her is Abby Dahlkemper. While I've got you, make sure to check out Throwback, my podcast series on the origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the FIFA Women's World Cup. Onward! As promised, we're here with Rose Lavelle, U.S. Women's National Team, at the Media Day here in New York City ahead of the Women's World Cup. Rose, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to interview you because I haven't before, and I've sort of watched your game from afar for a while. I think you do some special things on the field with the ball.
Oh, and, thanks.
but I'm just curious because I know you grew up in Cincinnati, but if you talk to people about the way you play, one of the first things they'll say is, it's clear that Rose spent a lot of time with the ball over the years. I'm just curious, what is your relationship with the ball and how did that get started?
I always kind of credit like my reason for falling in love with soccer and the reason I was always in my backyard with my first like coach slash trainer that I had. He was this little English guy. His name was Neil. Mm-hmm. And he just made it something so fun for me that I felt like after I was done with practice, I just wanted more. So I'd go in my backyard. We had one of those little rebounders and I would just kick against it, kind of play around with the ball for like hours. And I think the thing that was fun was it was just like very unscripted. Like I didn't mm-hmm. set up drills or anything. It was just me and the ball and doing whatever I wanted. And I feel like that's kind of how I came to be that type of player.
I mean, did you seem to be very good with both feet too? Like, is that something that came out of that or did you have to really work at?
I don't think I ever really like worked on both feet purposely. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm very left-footed too, but my right foot does work despite popular belief. It wasn't something that I was like, I need to work on both feet. I think it just kind of happened naturally.
Okay. I mean, my sense is that you're needed on this team for a lot of reasons, but if you go back in particular to what the U.S. faced in the game against Sweden in the Olympics in 2016 when the team went out, was Sweden parked the bus and the U.S. dominated possession. But, you know, and Jill Ellis talked about this earlier today a little bit, didn't have as many people to sort of break it down Like, do you feel like that's something in particular that you bring is an ability to help the team break down somebody, an opponent that's parking the bus? And how do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you play a team that's parking the bus, it's like really challenging. But I think for me, it's so fun because I love trying to work in those tight spaces and slip balls in and solve that kind of pressure. I don't know. I don't feel like that's something you ever really face when you're playing in club because it's so like undisciplined and free. I mean, in the sense like when I was growing up, so it's not like it's something I was always playing against, but I think because I've just been playing around with the ball for so long that I guess that kind of suits what I'm good at.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. This is going to be your first World Cup. How have you gone about trying to get a sense of what the experience might be like? Have you talked to any particular veterans about it? Or are you just kind of approaching it saying, let's just experience this and see how it goes?
Yeah, my kind of mindset has just been to take it day by day. I feel like I've always been someone who's either looked too far into the future and been like stressing about the future or stressing about the past. And I never just kind of like sat and enjoyed the moment. And I always feel like I've looked back and been like, if I would have just like, the journey is what you remember most, I think. So that's kind of how I'm taking it. It's just, what can I do today? What should I focus on today to be the best teammate, best player, best person I can be? And I feel like that's kind of helping me go into the World Cup with more of an eased mindset rather than nervous and panicked about what's potentially to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you can play and play and play, and then you go to a World Cup, and it is different. Like, there's a ton of media here today in New York. Is that something that, now that you've been with the senior national team for a little while, that you've gotten used to?
The media?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you definitely have to. But, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like extra noise I try to block out. Not that the media... You're great. Nothing against you. It's just, I think, when I first started playing professional soccer, I think that was, like, kind of the learning curve and thing I had to get used to was having so many people comment on my game and having access to those comments, too.
Right.
And not letting that affect me, because I feel like I used to be someone who really, really cared about what people thought of me. So the fact that now, like, so many random people were chiming in about that, and I think this past 2 years has kind of, I've helped get away from that. I think I've gotten more used to it now.
You're from Cincinnati, which has this sort of growing reputation as a soccer hotbed. Is that not a new thing if you're from Cincinnati? Has that always been there?
I've always thought that Cincinnati was a very underrated soccer city. Just talent-wise, I feel like there's been a lot of really good soccer players come out of Cincinnati, play Division I college. And so I feel like it's always been a soccer city, and I'm glad now that we have FC Cincinnati to showcase that and for everyone to see. But I don't think it's like – I think it's new and exciting to the country and the world that's seeing it, but I feel like for those of us who've grown up playing soccer there, it's not anything new. I'm not surprised by it at all.
Okay. It's fascinating to me. And obviously, FC Cincinnati existed before this year. You know, it was their first year in MLS. Mm-hmm. But just the amount of support they're getting is really impressive. Have you gotten any sense that they might be interested in having an NWSL team at some point?
I think it'll happen. I'm crossing my fingers. I would love to have a place for female soccer in Cincinnati, and I think it would have an awesome following too.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly my sense, just, you know, based on what we've seen. There was a mural in Cincinnati that they did for you this past week.
Yeah, it was so awesome. They did so awesome on it. I think my dad actually got to meet the artist when she was like finishing up painting it, and it was awesome. I'm a little biased, but I thought mine was the best.
Other players on the team have had that happen with the murals in I guess in their cities.
So there, I think there's like a decent amount. I think there's some in Portland, Denver, Orlando, of like all different players, and they're all awesome. All of the artists did an awesome job.
Now you've had to deal with some injuries in the last couple of years. Was there ever a point when you got concerned of like, am I going to be fit and available to make the World Cup team?
I think when the injury was happening, it was really, really frustrating, but I always was like, oh, I'll get back eventually. I think, when I finally came back, I thought the hard part was over, like rehabbing the injury and getting cleared to play. I thought that that was the hardest part. But for me, the hardest part was like being back and mentally getting back to, where I was before I got hurt. I think I've never really had like a problem confidence-wise on the field, and so it was the first time that I literally had not an ounce of confidence. Like I was scared on the ball, and it was so foreign to me because I'm so used to just like I feel like feeling like one with the ball in the field. So that I feel like it was harder once I was back, and that's kind of when maybe some doubts came back, like wondering if I was gonna be able to get back to where I was before.
And you found out you were.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've gotten there. It's honestly been like a long process. Like I honestly wouldn't say I had felt like fully confident until like recently, within the past like 2 or 3 months. Which maybe it was my mistake to think that I would come back faster, and maybe that's what slowed me down. But I finally feel good and like myself again.
And have you thought about like what kind of a launch pad the World Cup can be? Like if you do something like big at a World Cup, like it's just of a magnitude in terms of how many people are aware of it, you know, in the US, globally, like that it can set you up, you and your teammates, to not just be known like in the soccer world, but like in the very wider world. Out there. Is that something you've thought about? Or
yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a way bigger stage, and a lot more is at stake. And I think with this being such a I feel like this team has a lot of exposure and a lot of attention around it. So yeah, I've definitely thought about that. But I think at the same time, like I said before, it's kind of just extra noise that you have to block out, because that's not something that's going to help us win the World Cup. So kind of have to put that on the back burner.
We're wrapping up here with Rose Lavelle. Appreciate you taking the time to talk. How do you describe your game, the way you play?
I don't know. I'd like to think I'm like a creative player. I don't know. I always hate answering that question.
I'm sorry. I was going to make you uncomfortable.
No, I just never know what to say.
I mean, I totally get it. I mean, like, to some extent, that's my job, I guess, to observe and put out there, like, you know, kind of stuff like that. But I'm always curious just to hear what people say about, like, their own game and see what that says about how they play. But also, sometimes people are uncomfortable.
I just never know what to say. I should probably get that answer straight next time, because I've been asked before and I'm always like, I don't know.
I mean, but you're right. I mean, like, you're a creative player and you're fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and your teammates in France. Thanks for joining the show, Rose Lavelle.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Rose Lavelle for joining me. Next up is my interview with Abby Dahlkemper. As promised, we've got Abby Dahlkemper here from the U.S. Women's National Team, which is here in New York City for Media Day ahead of the Women's World Cup. Abby, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about interviewing you and Rose Lavelle's on the same podcast, because one, it's the first time I've actually sat down with both of you, and it's nice to meet new people and get a sense of what you're about. This is going to be your first World Cup. What are your thoughts right now about all of that and this being your first time?
Yeah. You know, I was talking to, I think it was Sam Mewis and my teammates, just kind of about you know, really embracing the moment we're in, and really, you know, just taking it day by day, moment by moment, and enjoying, you know, everything that this experience has to offer. So, you know, really being fully engaged in Media Day at New York, and, you know, it's exciting. We were on Good Morning America earlier this morning, so that was awesome. And, you know, getting excited, obviously, for a hopefully big summer.
Yeah. Where were you exactly on the final of the 2015 Women's World Cup? What was the setting of where you watched that?
Yeah, I was actually at a restaurant, and I was with Sam Mewis. We like still talk about it, we remember it, and it was just like watching it, and the total dominance that, you know, the team brought to the finals was just unreal, and you know, inspiring, and like I said, you know, dominant, and it was so cool. And I vividly remember that.
Where were you, like what city?
We were playing in Western New York, so we were in Buffalo.
Okay. Was there any sense that day of you or her thinking, I want to be in that situation in 4 years?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we both said that to each other that day, being like, wow, you know, that is something so inspiring and so special, and, you know, let's push each other, let's work hard to, you know, maybe get there in 4 years.
So you're center back for this team. The fullbacks really get forward.
Yeah.
For the U.S. And I can only imagine that puts even more pressure on the center backs to make sure nothing gets by them. What is that like? What are you asked to do in that situation? Because you know they're both your fullbacks are supposed to get forward.
Yeah, you know, I think, especially at this level, everyone has, you know, big responsibilities on the field, depending on positions. But I think, you know, as a center back, being locked in 90 minutes is just something that's super important defensively. And I think, you know, being prepared and proactive about, you know, countermeasures. Usually, you know, we have a good spell of the ball, so I think just being able to read counterattacks before they happen and anticipation is really key, and, you know, also just kind of that grittiness to get stuck in and win balls. And you know, we're our first line of attack as well, so connecting that first pass, you know, there's a lot obviously that comes with it, but definitely, you know, a lot of defensive responsibility, especially since we're such an attacking team.
So if someone asks you in an interview, like, what's your story, like the short version of how you got here, what do you say?
Wow, that's no one's ever asked me that question, but that's a really good question. I think, you know, long story short, a girl with a very passionate, burning desire to play at the highest level, to be a professional soccer player, to, you know, make this a living, and someone who was so passionate about the game, watched it, loved playing it, you know, kind of made it my life and priority. And I worked hard and, you know, kept my head down through adversity, and I'm here today. So.
And you're born in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Grew up in California?
Yes.
What parts?
In Northern California, in Menlo Park. It's a small town, you know, right by Palo Alto, Stanford area.
Okay. And what do you remember sort of about the soccer culture there that sort of shaped you?
Yeah, I was actually just talking about this. But I think, you know, throughout my career, looking back, I am just so thankful that I was able to have such great coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, playing in California, I think also, you know, it was women's soccer was very much up and coming, I think, when I first moved there, and it was in fifth grade. So 11 or 12, but and, you know, I was able to get on a really good club team and with really good coaches and, you know, develop technique and, you know, a skill set that still benefits me today. And so I think, you know, that's really important that soccer was so big in California and it was very developed, and it definitely pushed me, you know, when I first got there to keep getting better and to rise to the standards that it was developing.
Okay, cool. So It's a Sports Illustrated podcast. So I'm going to ask. You did the swimsuit issue with some of your teammates recently. And I typically am just on the sports side. I don't do much with the swimsuit issue. How did that come about?
I got the opportunity, and obviously I couldn't, pass that up. It was something that's, so cool and empowering and special. And, definitely got out of my comfort zone. But I think that's such a cool way to be able to, show the world confident, strong women. And I think, us four did well and the pictures turned out great. And it was so fun. I went to St. Lucia and, for a couple of days and did that. And it was such a cool experience and something I'll, value and cherish forever. And very honored and humbled to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah. What kind of response did you get from people when they saw it?
Yeah. I mean, all positive things and people were so nice about it. And so, it was nice to be able to do the swimsuit edition with, Crystal and Megan and Alex. And, it was awesome. And, we got to talk about women's soccer and where it's kind of gone and our hopes for this summer. So, can't say any bad things about it. It was all so cool and so special.
Nice. I went back and looked in a 1991 issue of Sports Illustrated magazine because I was curious to see how much attention the U.S. team got when they won the first Women's World Cup in 91. And it was 2/3 of a page inside the magazine when they won. And obviously, it's a different world now. You guys are going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine next week for the preview. You're on all sorts of magazine covers. You're doing the swimsuit issue. Do you ever think about what it must have been like to be on that 91 team that won a World Cup and came back to New York and nobody even sort of met them at the airport?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't imagine because that was, a while ago. But I think, one of the words that comes to mind is just respect.
Yeah.
For those women that, trailblazed a path that and an opportunity that we were able to get, today. And without them, we wouldn't be on the cover of Sports Illustrated next week, previewing the World Cup and, getting so much media attention and everything. So, just mad respect for those strong willed, powerful, skilled individuals that were able to bring home a World Cup and, continuing on to the 99ers and them being such inspirations as well. 20 years now pass and, now I think, women's soccer is so big in the world right now. And so the game is continually growing. So I think, it's something that's so cool and really, really special.
Now you and most of your teammates on the national team play in the NWSL. It's kind of an important year for the NWSL in the sense of opportunity for the World Cup to maybe bring some new fans to the league. And, from off the field sponsorship perspective, I think NWSL still needs to get some things done. I think they recently extended with Nike.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your hope for the NWSL in terms of what it might be able to get from the attention going to this World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like you said, I think my hope for the NWSL is, after the World Cup, hopefully, fan support. Mm-hmm. I think hopefully people will be buzzing, off women's soccer and the World Cup and that hype. And, I think the NWSL is one of the best, women's soccer leagues in the world. And there's so much amazing talent. Obviously the U.S. team, we all play on NWSL teams, but also, international as well. And so, and there's such, great venues and, amazing cities as well that the teams are located at. So I think, increasing the fan base throughout the league is going to be something that's really important to, keep driving the success of the NWSL and on. So hopefully, after this summer, you know, even starting this summer, people watching the World Cup and, you know, getting into women's soccer and then heading over to an NWSL game because, you know, we're gone playing in the World Cup, but the club teams are still stacked. So there's such just great talent in the U.S. And so hopefully people, you know, will be buzzing about women's soccer and come to games and support the NWSL.
I should say, in case any of our listeners don't know, Abby plays for the North Carolina Courage, the defending champion of the NWSL, and a very fun team to watch. Abby, thanks so much for joining the show. Good luck in France.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Rose Lavelle and Abby Dahlkemper, as well as producer Brandon Nix and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Meanwhile, check out Throwback, my podcast series on the origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the FIFA Women's World Cup. See you next time.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.